Welcome, welcome, all you beautiful people, you magnificent people, all of you. Good day, good afternoon, good evening, wherever, however you are listening to this or watching this podcast. My name is Amaya Victoria, and this is Wise Woman Podcast Series. I'm so glad to have you all here with me today. We have some very interesting people with us today, indeed. Now, of course, formally, let me admit that I find most people that I speak to on the podcast and in life as being very interesting. You know, everyone's got a story. Everyone's got a history that they really should be proud of because it gleans some wisdom and it is also their story. And every story is sacred. Every story is a prayer. So this evening, this morning, this afternoon, today, I have with me two people that I have utter respect and great love for, who I've known a long time. It freaks me out how long we've known each other. I guess you're not supposed to snort on podcast. Oh, well, how long we've known each other, you know, how long? My youngest daughter is going to be 30 in May, just walked out the door to take a walk. What was she, like a little bit of a thing, Bill, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of a thing, holding on to stuff, walking around. It's been a bit of time here. Time flies whether you're having fun or not. And I say we might as well, we're going to have both. And yet we might as well capitalize on the preciousness of our time together because it goes very, very quickly. And relationships are very, very important. And to ride relationships, unless they're toxic and they're just not, they're no longer serving, but to ride out disagreements, to ride out opinion, to even ride out hard times, you know, I'm going to introduce these two wonderful people in a moment. Just recently, I was speaking to these two people on Zoom because I had just an internal disagreement about something that we were talking about, but we listened to each other on it. There was no need to argue. Now, in our world, sometimes argument is necessary. Some people love to argue. I don't know about war. I don't know whether war is necessary in our world, but I do know that if we're not talking to each other, particularly during this time, we're in a lot of trouble. We already are. So why dig the hole any deeper? This is the whole intention of the podcast is to bring you informative and new and possibly very interesting information, but also to get you to remember to put the text down and let's talk to each other. Because we have ear things that vibrate when we talk that allow us to know what we're saying. It's not what we say, it's how we say it. So today it is my privilege to welcome Bill Tomaszewski and Bibbs Cameron Tomaszewski onto this platform. Hello, my dears.
Hello,
I'm from England. So therefore, it is almost 2 o'clock here. It's therefore 10 p.m. there.
That's right.
On the same day, though, right? Saturday.
Same day. It's Saturday.
Yeah, okay. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So thank God for Zoom. Thank God for our technology. We're going to telepathy next. And let me just introduce them for a moment. And I want to talk about, as we begin, that the striking plaque that you have behind both of you that I believe we'll probably need to jump off of, not necessarily put it on the floor and jump off of it. I don't think that's good, but in our talking together to jump off of that place, we'll see. We'll see how things go, you know? So we have Mr. Bill here, and I've known Mr. Bill Tomaszewski for, you know, 30 some years at the minimum here. He was one of my first clients. I met him at A Course in Miracles. I don't know where we were, Bucks County somewhere, Doylestown.
Suburban Philadelphia, let's say.
Philadelphia, let's just say Philadelphia. It's been a long time. Who really cares about the incidentals?
Okay.
No. So, and Mr. Tomaszewski, the book Out on the Limb was very pivotal for him.
So yes, it was.
Just into that. He has had several private channelings with different spirits, Joseph, and also with myself too.
That's right.
Is where we met. And the one thing about Bill, this is tenacity. his forward thinking, his willingness to accept, and the fact that when he was in Pennsylvania, he put together what is called the Chandler Support Group. First of its kind in the area, first of its kind period, I believe. And that was when channeling was just becoming a PC. It was just starting out of its gate here. And I was privileged to be there many times. It's still going though, Bill, isn't it?
Well, up until last year, it has been going, but because of the coronavirus, I think it has been delayed for a year.
I think they're starting it up
again. It's going to start again, though. I think that everything's
starting start it up again. Yeah.
So the channel support group, and I really I remember that group. You helped a lot of people by bringing in the channels and for your own gifts as a channel. This man is also a channel, very gifted medium and into it. There are times when I'll go to him with a question just recently. And a loving spirit comes through. Several times I knew it was my group speaking through him, just the words that, and I wept through those times because of the intimate relationship. So welcome, Bill. And then we have his soulmate, Bibbs.
Yes.
Hi, Bibbs. I met a few years after I met Bill. We'll talk about how the two of you met, but I believe it was in New Hope, up in that area, Leperville, one of those areas, in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And Bibbs, an extremely interesting woman to me, as she has quite a resume here, my folks. But I'm going to give you just a little bit of it. You know, she lived in Egypt for 5 years, hence that beautiful plaque behind her, I'm sure. I'm sure it's a past life thing too. She's been in the central chambers of those pyramids and had some life-changing experiences. Now I know, because I hadn't read all this. Now I know why we want to jump off on that place in a moment. And I know, Bill, you have something to say, but can you hold it just for a minute more? She has always had an interest in this field, and it appears to be it's really Egyptian healing practice and the heritage, you know, the ancestry of all that, because she's worked so closely with the British Museums. She's a Reiki master, and she has also been taught Lakota rituals, spiritual practices of Native Americans, dear to my heart. She is also within the Buddhist Learning Center from New Jersey. She met the Dalai Lama. Okay. And also founded the Sacred Site Tours in the United Kingdom and Italy. In 1996, now I didn't know this was you met your soulmate, Bill Tomaszewski.
Yeah.
And then the two of you began that group in New Hope. Forgive me. Okay. And then you went to We. This is what I love about. Now I know why Spirit said at the end, let them work together. You may work together through the whole thing. We have met many spiritual leaders, attended conferences, began a meditation group in the United Kingdom, have had a film made about us, and participated in a research study in distant healing at the University of Edinburgh. Our aim is to help those on their life's journey to fulfill their spiritual potential. Wow. Wow and wow for both of you. Let's jump off then with Egypt and helping others fulfill their spiritual potential, and anything else you want to say. Whatever is going to come out for you, Bill, for you, Bibbs, we're going to talk. And if you'll speak a little louder, because you're a little soft in the background there.
Okay,
so I'll start with Egypt. I went to Egypt when I was 8 years old, sorry. And I was with my parents then, and my father was a bit of a history buff. He wasn't spiritual, but he loved history. So he took me around all the sites in Egypt. And he was also quite a religious person. So I was raised in the church, but he took me to the pyramids. And inside the pyramids, he lay me in the sarcophagus, inside the chamber in the pyramids. And I was 8, 9 years old, and it did change me dramatically.
How so? Can you put into words?
I used to sit in church and I used to think, this isn't right. This this can't be right. And I used to question things then and started to think that there was much more to this world than just the religion that I was being told, the book. And so I started to look into other religions. As I grew up, I started to read into different religions and realized that all religions are mostly the same. They tend to be a way of A, controlling the masses, and also giving an opportunity to teach ethics and morals in whichever way you choose to follow that religion. So whether it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, whatever, there's always a strong underlying teaching of morals and ethics. And so I later went back to Egypt as a tourist, and this is where I got the plaque. And I decided to revisit all those sites as I'd been to as a child with my father. And in Luxor, I suddenly realized a feeling like I'd been there before. I walked into this special chamber and it was like deja vu. I'd been there.
It's 22 hours.
Sorry. I was going through like a deja vu moment. And I think that I had had a previous life in the temples in Luxor.
What chamber was that, do you remember? And what was the deja vu?
I can't remember the name of the chamber, but I remember you walked towards the back and there'd been a pool there. And I sat on the side where this pool was. And I remembered being a young priestess in that temple with an older guide who had been a priest. And I believe that's the way they taught in that religion. They used to have an older guide and a younger priestess. So you would learn everything about the religion there. And that was when I started to think, I must learn much more about Egypt. And so that's when I joined the British Museum and became a guide in the Department of Egyptology. And I learned a lot about the history, the basic history of Egypt, and not really a much about the spiritual side. That wasn't gone into, but there were a lot of hieroglyphics in the British Museum. And I could see in these hieroglyphics, people with their hands raised over the body of another person. And I thought, well, what's all that about? And I also learned that they used aromatherapy, reflexology, and various other treatments in those days.
Oh.
And so I thought I'd like to learn about it. And so I started to think about how can I learn about hands-on healing, aromatherapy, and things like that. And then as time went by, I happened to meet Bill, who was a Reiki master by that time. And he... Yeah.
And I want to ask you a question. I want to remind people that we're all humans. We all have human lives. So you have children, you were married at the time, living in the United Kingdom, right?
Well, I was married. I had children, three children, but we had a company in New Jersey. We had a company in London.
Okay.
And we had a company in Frankfurt. So we had a house in New Jersey and a house in London. So I was backwards and forwards all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Bill in London when I was staying in London. But I also had a house in New Jersey. Oh, well, it was Pennsylvania at that time.
Well, Pennsylvania.
It was Pennsylvania, yes.
New Hope, yes.
Yes. Wow. You're exploring, when I asked you this, Bibbs, and you don't have to go into the personal detail. I think people need to, and it doesn't happen for everyone, because people can explore their spirituality and their relationships don't blow up, you know, go. But for me, for many of us, when we start awakening to the bigger picture, and there may have been problems in our relationships or things that just weren't setting right, it tends to accelerate either the healing in the sense of merging or the healing in the sense of going apart. And that's the nature of healing or movement, right?
Yes, and I think that happened to me. There was domestic disharmony, shall we say, within the marriage at the time. But I was fighting hard to save the marriage because nobody had ever been divorced in my family. I had three children. I wanted a secure family home for those children. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't thought about ever leaving the marriage, although I don't know whether my husband had. He certainly went in and out and had dalliances at the time, so he did. But no, I hadn't thought about leaving the marriage. And actually, Bill and I met as friends, first of all.
Yes.
We were friends for 5 years before anything happened.
Yes, I remember when you both met. I remember when you met. Yes.
Yeah. He happened to live in the house next door to where I owned a house, but I was renting it out to some artsy people. And I was living in London. So the lady who lived in the house said, buy some perfume for me because I can't get it in America anymore. So she said, I know somebody in London, just give her this money and she'll buy the perfume. So that's what I did. And that's when I met Bill. And that was amazing, wasn't
it? The beginning of a real merging together here.
It started 25 years ago as of this past Good Friday.
Oh, happy anniversary. Yeah. Happy anniversary.
25 years.
So Bill, let's talk about your walkabout. You know, because you go through walking your own walkabout and then you came together. And I'm really, really being pushed to really talk about soulmates and the merging of soulmates at some point in this conversation.
All right.
And then how that is used almost in a utilitarian process for the service in this world, as well as for each other, you know, for the service towards each other, the offering of soul mating in this world. Maybe because we're going to have more of that, because we all need to become each other's soulmate. Who knows where this is going to go? But Bill, let's talk about your walkabout. I know you started just like a day-to-day living man, right?
That's right. Just, you know, I had a job. I had several jobs. But there was a time when I would visit my parents in Northeast Philadelphia on a Sunday, and my mother would offer a meal. And after the meal, I was sitting down on the sofa in the living room, and next to the sofa was a lamp table, and on the lamp table was a book. And the book was Edgar Cayce, The Sleeping Prophet. Yeah. So I asked my mother, well,
who was Edgar Cayce? Because some people may not know a little bit about who Edgar Cayce was.
He was a very famous psychic.
And channel.
And many people have written books about him. And there is an organization in Virginia Beach, Virginia, having to do with what he'd started.
It's called the ARE,
the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And the book had to do with his talking while in trance to help people with their medical problems or with telling them about who they were in the past or what possibly may happen in the future for their own lives. And so I asked my mother about that book, and she said, well, you take it home and you can read it. So I took it home, I read it, and I said, gee, I want to go down to Virginia Beach, Virginia, and to see the organization, which I did with a friend of mine. And he bought a book in the bookstore called Out on a Limb by Shelley MacLean. And I didn't buy that. I bought other things. And several weeks later, he said, here, take the book. You read it. It's for you. So I read the book, Shelley MacLean's book, Out on a Limb. And I said, gee, you know, I want to see a channel. One day I want to talk to someone who's a trans channel, someone who knows more about, you know, me than maybe I know about myself. And so what happened later on was a friend of mine who is a private detective suggested I take up the training that he took up called Silver Mind Control. And now it's called the Silver Method. But at the time when I took it up, which I followed on his advice, I took up Silver Mind Control in Media, Delaware County. And it was that that opened me up to the possibility that I have some maybe psychic or intuitive abilities, which I wasn't aware of at the time. And also it was a time for me to let go or to forgive myself. There was a time during that process of those 3 days, 2 days and a half, half a day on a Sunday, to go through what she had advised, to go through some kind of regimen where you could picture yourself coming down in an elevator and seeing your guides. Well, I didn't see myself in an elevator. I saw myself on a island, no elevator. So how did my two guides arrive? But through a seaplane. And so they landed, on the beach from the seaplane. And it was my former wife and another person. And I forgave them for the anger that I had because I felt that I was the victim for what happened to me, or I thought what happened to me.
So I may stop you for a minute because I think there's three things very interesting.
Yes.
You said she, was that the woman who wrote the Silver Mind Control?
The Silver Mind Control woman is from Delaware County.
Okay. But she's the one who suggested this process, yeah, correct?
She was the one who suggested this process that we all went through.
And then when you saw your ex-wife and this other person.
Person, yeah.
Were they still alive at the time?
Oh, yes, yes, okay. Yes, yes. Okay. But I forgave them, and I actually forgave myself, too. And that was sort of like the beginning of me feeling better, because at the end of this process, she asked everybody what they got out of it. And when it came time for me to say something, I said, well, it was like, it was a monkey that was on my back all the years, jumped off, shook my hand, turned around and walked off into the sunset. I felt better about myself. And
folks, you don't know Bill well. This is Bill. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, look, from that time on.
No, you're doing yourself. I think it's great. It's just great.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. But it changed for me because after that, I attended a meeting in Philadelphia on City Line Avenue that was held by the teacher of the Silver Mind Control. And she brought in a gentleman from California who channeled Dr. Peebles.
Dr. Peebles. Peebles. Wow, I haven't heard his name in a long time.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. So
folks, if you want to look up Dr. Peebles, he was really a very prolific channel.
Yes, so I was in this meeting room, and I thought I had an idea for asking a question when it was time for asking questions. After Thomas Jacobson was the channel. He channeled Dr. Peebles, Thomas Jacobson. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to ask a wisecracker question. Do extraterrestrials go to church on Sunday? But I never got a chance to. Anyway, there was in the same row as me was a woman.
Your spirit was conspiring to make sure you didn't ask that question.
Well, who knows? Maybe one day I'll get an answer. Who knows? From somebody.
Not more. I can
All right. All right. Anyway, sitting in the same row as me was this woman who did get a chance to ask the spirit, Dr. Peebles, a question. And she prefaced her question by saying she had gone to a trans channel and got some answers. So I said, gee, to myself, I got to talk to this woman to see who she went to talk to this trans channel, because this Thomas Jacobson, who's from California, is going to be going back to California. I'm not, maybe not get a chance to see somebody like that. So I did talk to the woman after the class or after the meeting, and she gave me this woman's name who lives, or maybe at maybe she doesn't live there anymore, but in Bucks County. And she said, here's the phone number, call. So the following day I called, I talked to the husband, made an arrangement to go see his wife the following week. He said, bring a tape and she'll record the conversation. So, and she said, he said, write down your questions that you want to ask. So it took me about a week to decide what questions that I would need to have answered to that nobody else could answer, you know? So I wrote it down and I brought my list of questions to the meeting or to the person's house. I met the woman and she went into a trance and out comes the name of the spirit, Joseph. Good evening, my name is Joseph. So here I am looking at a woman and I'm addressing the woman as Joseph, which was my very first private reading.
We have to remember this was in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
This is like now. This was
1984.
Yeah, it was really not out in the media yet. It wasn't mainstream. Yeah.
December 1984 was when I had this personal meeting. And during this conversation I had, one of the things I had asked, the answer was to take up the training of Reiki. And it was suggested that I be taught by Beth Gray. Beth Gray, and Joseph described Beth Gray as a saint of a woman. Well, you know, that was good when I heard that. But, you know, after the meeting, I'm thinking, I'm wondering if Joseph provides a 20% kickback to the woman who channeled Joseph for everyone who was told to go see Beth Gray.
And, you know, this is why I forewarned you folks, so you wouldn't take any insult in what he's saying. This is Bill.
Fortunately.
The one thing about you, Bill, is
yeah.
You know laughter is the best medicine. You know, it just gets way too serious. Even talking about spiritual stuff, you got to throw in the jelly beans.
I'm serious.
Somewhere. Yeah. It gets too much for Bill, I think. Yeah. It gets too much for him, so he's got to throw something in there. Okay.
Anyway.
So continue, because I remember Reverend Beth Gray. She just died, about 5 years ago, 10 years
some,
ago?
Some years ago. Some
yeah.
years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Some years ago. She was amazing. So I learned the Reiki from her. And then I went back a second time to see Joseph or to speak with Joseph, the spirit. And that second time it was suggested that I read the book, A Course in Miracles. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I read the book, A Course in Miracles.
At that time were three huge books. It was two books and a workbook. And they have brought it down to this.
Yeah, that's the book. Yeah, that's the book there. Yeah.
Close in Miracles.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, I have this other one too.
Yeah, get it.
Why? This other
because
one?
Because you won't believe he reads it every night.
All right. This is another, this is another book which I bought in California in the San Francisco area. So it's similar to it. And,
you know, there is a book out about the woman who did that work, the Course in Miracles work. And folks, one time we'll talk about Course in Miracles on this. And she was chosen. She didn't believe in any of this. And it's a very powerful story about how she went through Hades, all her past lives. I mean, this was the last lifetime for her, obviously. And she sat one morning, supposedly the gentleman named Christ would wake her up and start wanting her to transcribe, like at 2 o'clock in the morning. She was sitting in her chair, absolutely exhausted, and said, why me? Why me, of all people? And spirit, whoever this voice was, said, even tone, just total benign, because I knew you would. I knew you would.
You've learned a lot from
me. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, okay.
So you went to the Course in Miracles.
I went to the Course in Miracles. And then I went to see a woman. I had this idea of promoting people who are into the psychic area or into channeling.
Right.
I wanted to see if I could be the entrepreneur who would put them on stage, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Well, I I was living in New Hope at the time. And I met a woman on the other side of the New Hope, Lambertville area, Lambertville, New Jersey. And the woman was a channel, and she channeled an angel called Raphael, not the Raphael, but Raphael. Mm-hmm. And in the course of the conversation I had with Raphael, it was suggested that I start a support group for people who channel so that they could, come out of their own spiritual closet, so to speak, but also to know that they are not alone, that there are other people of like mind who are doing something similar to them. And it was an idea that I thought, hey, that's it's a good idea. So I talked to the woman who channeled after all this was over when she came out of trance. And Kelly Sheehy is the name of the woman.
Oh.
And Kelly suggested that, maybe you can, we'll have a meeting, she says, at my brother-in-law's house. Because my sister and my brother-in-law are on holiday. They're out of the area. Mm-hmm. And so we used her sister's house to have the first meeting. And it was near Peddler's Village in Bucks County. And then the second meeting was somewhere else. And then I was told, I think you should get one place to have the meeting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suggested that I ask the librarian in New Hope if we could use the library. So I went to see the librarian, told her what I wanted to do. And she said, the last people we had in the library after hours, we let them go after hours, we had to ask them to stop and to leave because they were drumming. And the neighbors didn't like the sound of the drumming. I said, we're not going to do any drumming, So it was just all channeling. Sure. And she says, okay. And so we started to have the meetings on a Wednesday night after the library was closed. And I had to pick up the keys to the library, earlier that day in order to get into the library at night when everybody was going to meet. And that's how we got started.
Now, I remember the library far back there. And then you went over to Pebble Hill Church.
Well, we went to Pebble Hill. Yeah, it wasn't me that went to Pebble Hill Church, but it was the people after I decided to leave.
Oh, okay.
I felt like somebody else should take over.
Yes, yes.
So I had it in the library for several years and, invited people over to demonstrate what they did. And there are times when I didn't know who to have over, so I would go to the New Age bookstore in New Hope and look on their the bulletin board to see what kind of business cards were up on the bulletin board. And if it interested me and I thought they had something that maybe the other people who come would like to see and hear and share, I would call them up and say, would you like to come over? Of course, I asked you to come over a couple of times, mm-hmm. and you did.
Yeah.
And you drew one of the bigger crowds. I think the most was when you had come over and I had, I think, 50 people in that room.
Yes, I remember we had a big crowd. I didn't know that, and thank you for that. My whole thing is for the people, whatever I can do to help the people.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal. So let's talk about how you and Bibbs met.
Okay.
And the ensuing years here.
All right.
For both of you. Bibbs, I'd like to hear, I think you have, deep in you, just at some point, once we get, and I would like both of you to talk about how you met, almost like it becomes like a helix, like a chromosome spiral together.
All right.
You understand what I'm looking at here. But I know that for you, Bibbs, there's something about Egypt. I just did a blog. It's up on my website about Egypt. Maybe you need to go read it. I think it would help you. Something that's going to go off for you in it. It's important because the Egyptian energy through all this, from what I've been told, the large pyramid, the Giza area is getting reactivated. It's getting reactivated. So how the two of you met, the ensuing years, how it hasn't been easy being soulmates, the things, you don't have to get the detail of the things we've had to go through, how it's been easy to be soulmates, and how you've merged and what happens for you day-to-day living and how you help to serve others together.
Okay.
Well, that's a lot. I know that's a lot. I didn't write it down. Sorry, but that's a lot. And if you forget, I'll remind you if I remember. So
let's do the short story of how we met.
Which is the short one?
The short story is,
is what?
A lady who lived as a next door neighbor to Bill and his three boys was called Mrs. Love. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Now, Mrs. Love died and she left some money to the boys. And the boys clubbed together and bought a ticket for Bill to go to London. Mm-hmm. So it was Mrs. Love that made him come to London when he met me.
Yeah.
And then
he had this discussion with the next door neighbor of mine to buy the perfume. And then we met on Good Friday on
1996.
Outside the Cutty Sark, which is an old tea clipper in Greenwich in London.
In dry dock.
Yes, it's a museum.
Yeah.
And that was the first time we met.
Yes.
What did you think the first time?
Well, it was very nice because Bez was the tour guide for me to walk around Greenwich and to show me the area in Greenwich Mean Time. And took me back to where she lived, which was across the river, the Thames River, and we had a nice English tea, didn't we?
Yes, we had an English tea. And by that time, we were interested, the family was interested in things, metaphysical things.
Yeah.
And my daughter had a tarot pack. And so Bill did a channeling for my daughter and she did a tarot reading for him. And after all that happened and we'd had a nice discussion, I said, well, I'm sorry I can't see you again in London. I'm going back to America on Tuesday. And he said, what? He said, I'm going back to America on Tuesday. Synchronicity.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we both went back to America on Tuesday on different planes, by the way.
Yeah.
But he didn't realize I lived next door to him. And then we became the girl and boy next door.
Yeah.
You just can't make this stuff up.
No.
You cannot make this stuff up. That is divine agreements.
Yes.
Divine agreements.
It's amazing.
That come from the heart and the soul and the big soul that we come from. That's so beautiful.
I think it was our higher powers getting together and deciding that we were meant for each other rather than us.
Well, I remember having a private reading with you and hearing from Isaiah and the group, and he said that I would meet my equal.
Not with a smile on his face right this second, but he said, I'll meet him.
Well, a lot happened between.
I want to talk about the fact, because people want to meet their soulmates, and Spirit has said to me time and time again, you know, you meet your soulmate, you meet your twin flame, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And sometimes twin flames don't do it in that given lifetime. They have to get to a certain place. So obviously you all are at that place. And I see in my head, like, it's all packed away. My stuff is packed away because I'm moving. But one of those glass, almost like pyramids with the orb inside or the helix inside of it. Like the two of you have become, of course you're individual, obviously, and significantly, thank God. But this together,
yes, but in the beginning it wasn't easy, particularly for Bill, because I was going through, as I said, this domestic disharmony, and the reason I'd come back to America was because our marriage really was over, and I decided I wanted to lock myself away in the house and not talk to anybody ever again, and that's what I was planning to do. And every day or every other day there'd be a knock at the door and Bill would be there saying, want to come out to play? No. And I'd say, no, go away. No, it took a long, long time, but he's very tenacious, as you said. And eventually he found an English girl and brought her along to one of his groups and knocked on the door and said, there's an English girl coming to my group. I'd like you to meet her. And that's how I first went to one of his
meetings.
Yes. But it took a long time, didn't it? Well, I think it was at least 6 to 8 months knocking on the door every other day.
Yeah. You know, what can I say other than patience? Patience pays off, and determination also.
And knowing, because you
and knowing, not knowing, and, not knowing consciously, but somewhere deep inside.
Right.
So. Right. So it turned out that, you know, we got to be real friendly, but then Bibbs needed to go back to London. You wanted to continue about how you had to go back to London.
Yeah, I did. I had to go back to London to sort out my son who was in boarding school, and he wasn't very happy. And and also my daughter who was pregnant at the time and has always been ill all her life, invalid, needed me. So I came back to London, and it looked as if I'd have to stay because my son didn't want to be in boarding school anymore, and
I'd take care
of him. And so I moved back to Shrewsbury, actually, and he moved in with me. And of course, that meant the end of Bill and I. So I thought.
So you thought, right. Logically, but not true.
No.
But I want to add that what Bibbs did, she had to sell her house in New Hope. And would you like to explain how that happened?
Well, I said I'd never sell the house in New Hope. Well, you saw it. It was beautiful. I mean, the house wasn't beautiful, but the garden,
it was gorgeous,
and the woods were from the Lenape woods, and we did ritual in the garden, and it was so lovely. And I said I'd never sell this house for this amount. If somebody offered cash and it was this amount, I'd sell the house. And who should come along but somebody who was renting a house or looking for a house to rent. And they drew up in their car and said to the real estate agent, because I was renting the house out at the time, I'd buy this house for X amount and I'd pay cash for it. And it was the amount that I'd said in my head. And so I believed that was a sign. And the guy's name was Tom Jones. Well, you've got to sell your house to Tom Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. You better sell your house to Tom Jones.
And it turned out that he had a brother in Shrewsbury. So I'm saying, you know, I always go through life saying, show me three signs and I'll do it. So I always have to have three signs that come up I'm ready to go.
Yes, I want to remind everyone, as human as you've been, you from certain point on, both of you, on your own and then connectively, have always had the basis of spirit and esoteric and the wondrousness of the miracles in life, you know. The Course of Miracles says there are no large or small miracles, and if a miracle does not occur, there's something that's new. Like miracles, and listen to this miraculous story of coming from places of great tightness and congestion, of trying to live a normal human life, and the willingness to open to, and that's risk-taking, folks, is to open to a bigger picture, because you could lose everything that you love and you know for the sake of a dream.
Absolutely.
You know,
but as I've aged, I've given my life over to my guides. My guides are very important to me because I think they know better than I do. And Bill says, I'm so ditzy, I need my guides looking after me constantly.
Grab me by the back of your shirt so you don't fall down the floor.
Absolutely. <Yeah. laughs> So I think my guides and his guides were deciding, no, this isn't the end.
Do you think you share guides?
Never thought of that.
Do you feel like you may share guides?
Maybe a soul group or something.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I never thought of it. That's a new New question. That's a good question.
We'll have to get our guides to talk to
you. Yeah, then maybe that's what's going to happen. Where I said I would like something of the ambiguity to you here, spiritually. So you went back to England because of family matters. And I remember that time with Bill struggling about being here or being in England. I remember that time. And then you went over to stay. You came back a couple of times, but you went over to stay.
That's right.
Right.
We had this sort of mid-Atlantic relationship where I persuaded him to buy a computer. Yeah. This was something very new for him.
Yeah.
And he was learning how to use the computer, but he'd learned how to use an email. So we were managing to contact each other.
By email.
Yeah. And so that kept the relationship alive.
Right. Long distance relationship.
Then he would come over every 6 months, mm-hmm. and he'd stay, first of all, for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Then it was a month. Then it was 3 months.
Then five months.
And then the guy at the airport said to you, I don't know why you don't apply for naturalization. You're over here so much.
Yeah, well, it wasn't naturalization, but for living over there,
For a visa.
Yeah. So that's what I applied for, and I got it, and I was able to live here in England.
Okay, so let's talk about then that we're going to fast forward to the years of the gatherings that you've been part of out there. The gentleman, I forget his name, who passed away years ago, who was very pivotal in a lot of those gatherings. The other gentleman who did the documentary about, I forget what your gatherings were about, their channeling or spiritual or something.
Oh, yes, Dave, right.
Yeah. And those gatherings together and how that has changed you. As we come to a time now where I really want to let the people experience when two twin flames merge and let spirit move through them. But before I looked up your Egyptian thing, can you, just from the place in you that's illogical, tell us of the frequency of Egypt, Bibbs, before we go to the gathering and what has come from that for you, and then see what morphs from that in a expression of spirit here. Message for the people. Did I make myself clear? I'm not sure if I did.
No, explain it again.
Okay. First, can you lean back into that illogical place in you that we all have, and some form of description of old Egypt to come forward for you?
Yes, what you see in Egypt now is a very sad place compared to what it was in the 2000 years BC. It was a vibrant place. It was full of energy. It was full of technology that people don't understand or realize is apparent. And the technology ran the society. The society was a very intelligent and well-ordered society and very spiritual. Everybody believed that life after death was something that was a goal to live for, because you were going to have a better life when you died. And so they all worked in the highest level to achieve that. Even the slaves and the serfs and the people that lived at the lowest level, but those that lived at the highest level always lived with religion as their main goal. So the frequency, I believe that a society that lives collectively within a religious, platform, is able to live at a much higher frequency than other societies that are not as religious. And so I think the religious and the spirituality of Egypt in those days was far higher than anywhere we find it in the world now.
Do you feel or have a sense that through all that's happening in the world now, coming through the eye of this needle, that we're trying to come full circle and then rise higher than even that, in that form of sacredness and belief systems?
They do say out of chaos becomes order.
Yeah.
And we are in a bit of a chaotic situation at this present time. But I do believe that there will be a surge of positivity that comes out of this. People will be grateful for their lives. They will be grateful for their ability to have relatives around them, their ability to communicate with people, their ability to love and enjoy life once more in a free way. And I think out of this, particularly the COVID situation, there will become a very joyful situation at the end. Mm-hmm. If we think about World War II and the people that were born after World War II, they created the 60s, which was an amazing decade of innovation. And then their children were in the 80s, and that was another very positive time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the generation that's young now will again have all those innovations, but it's going to be different because our whole world is changing at the moment. We're no longer going to offices to commute, to have even pollution in cars and buses and aeroplanes. I think everybody's going to look for solutions in those areas. So I do think there's a lot of positivity about where we're going at the moment and what we've got to look forward to.
Because what you were describing felt like to me the prayer that's out there, like we're coming back to those places of the healthy Atlantis, the healthy Lemuria, the healthy Egypt. Spirit said for many years, this is the fourth time we've attempted to make it around the corner, and they believe we will this time, all of us, you know, as above, so below. So thank you for that. And we're just going to take a moment then to speak of how the morphing of being in those gatherings with these men and women that would come together in circle has helped both of you, has helped them, has helped people in the UK. And then we're going to end truly with see what the two of you can do together.
We began our group meeting, actually, as you said, it was Dave that insisted on it, but it was always at this house because I don't know whether we've mentioned before, we have a ley line that goes through this house.
No, you have not mentioned. Yeah.
The energy is really very, very good to create a portal. And so we had our gatherings and we did a group meditation, but it would be of the highest level. We would meditate through the chakras and take us up, 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 so that we were going to 10th, 15th level. And then we'd go up into the atmosphere and bring down universal energy in order to heal. And I believe because we did that every month on a regular basis, we did create a portal of light. And actually it began to affect Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury began to not be this dilapidated town that it used to be. It started to smarten itself up and lots of tourists started coming in and appreciating the town. So I think it was affecting the place on a bigger level than that. But at the same time, after we did this meditation, we'd go home and we'd do channelings. And those channelings were quite amazing, weren't they, what came out of them?
We've written down.
Yeah, we have a book full of the channelings, yeah. But it predicted the financial collapse that happened and various other things that was going on. I think Dave actually predicted his own passing.
His own passing, yeah.
He was aware, apparently, on a subconscious level, what was going to happen to him. So he was preparing his family for that in his own way.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a very magnificent man.
Yeah.
We cannot judge a book by its cover. We don't know what people have to live through. You know, one of the things I would love our healing community on, in every country, in every state, is to stop judging illness as incorrect, because we don't know what's being learned from that. Maybe there are blockages that can be removed and mitigated, but it did not take away from the beauty of this man and his beautiful ministry here on this planet. And he suffered deeply physically. He really did.
He had physical problems.
Yeah. Yes. And what a humbling thing to watch that and know that the light shines anyway.
Yes.
No matter what. That's why when I open and close, I always call everyone magnificent, because we can live through such things and still flourish, still want to love, still want to live. If that's not magnificent, I don't know what is, really. And not one of us has been without suffering. It just means, you know, it's like I hear the statement often, it's not how you fall down, it's how you get up. That's important. So thank you for that beautiful description. Now I'm being really provoked to have the two of you go ahead and join. Now, this, don't get stressed or tense about this. We'll trust whatever happens here in just a moment or two. All and right. I'm going to take us out on our prayer, and we will be done for today.
Do you have anything to...
You start off.
Well, I want to... Love has been coming up since you mentioned that we'll do a little bit of channeling. Mm-hmm. And I keep coming up with the word love.
Okay.
So let's see what happens with love, because it seems like today in the world, love is not something that is spoken of too often. It's more of anger, revenge, things that are more on the negative side that actually are upsetting people, and people are, let's say, scared, they're fearful, and they just don't know what will happen. And so the feeling of love is missing within people because of what they are hearing, what they are seeing, what they have been exposed to in their daily life. And so to feel love is something that is missing in the emotions of people today. And how do you feel love? What can I say about how to feel love other than, first of all, love yourself? Most people don't understand that they can love themselves, that they are permitted to love themselves. It's something that is not taught, to love yourself in a way that is more encompassing of just generosity, being generous to yourself. Generous to yourself. That's important. Because we like to think that we are generous in giving things away, but if we give things away, that means we don't have it anymore. But if we are generous to ourselves and give ourselves love, we can then give that love that we have within ourselves to those who we meet and associate with. All right, yeah, that's it. That's it for me. You want to say anything, huh?
That's very good.
Oh, all right.
I would say positivity has been coming through
today. Okay, so speak about positivity.
Never look at a glass half empty. Always look at it half full. Always look towards what is good that's coming forward and not what you dread. But it's very important to live in the moment. Don't look at the past and angst over that. And don't look at the forward to the future and think with fear. Just be in the moment and allow yourself to enjoy that space in your time on this planet, because we are very fortunate to have the lives that we have and we are very fortunate to be human beings. So enjoy every moment that you're on this planet Earth.
Thank you both for this. You know, that brought a full circle for us, because we started with the whole thing about being entrapped by religion. We ended with this whole thing about freedom. And freedom is not just an attitude, it's a mindset. Like Spirit has always said, you could live in a 2x4 room and still be free.
Yeah.
And most of us do, it's called our minds. So, you know, really thank you for that. And thank you for the lesson on trusting, because your examples of your lives and how things have woven, which happens for all of us, and we will both keep our eyes open, is really that last statement, the thing about love and think about positiveness, because who knew, right? Who knew?
Oh, yeah. Nobody knows.
All right. So if you would like anyone to contact you for readings or anything like that, this is the time to give out your email address, anything, you know, it's up to you both.
Well, Bill also does healing work. So if anybody is in desperate need of healing or distance healing, he does for people. So if anybody needs that.
I mean, I can give out my email address.
Yes, would you give out your contact information, please?
All right. Well, I can say it's Bilski, which is spelled B-I-L-L-S-K-I, at talk, dot net, N-E-T.
Thank you very much. So everyone, welcome to Bill Tomaszewski and Bibbs Cameron Tomaszewski for helping us with a myriad of things today. Thank you, thank you. And I will end with the from the Manual of Teachers, page 73, the prayer for the teachers. And now in all your doings, be you blessed. God turns to you for help to save the world. Teacher of God, his thanks he offers you. And all the world stands silent in the grace you bring from him. You are the son and daughter he loves, and is giving you to be the means through which his voice is heard around the world. To close all things of time, to end the sight of all things visible, and to undo all things that change. Through you is ushered in a world unseen, unheard, yet truly there. Holy are you, and in your light the world reflects your holiness, for you are not alone and friendless. I give thanks for you, and I join your efforts on behalf of God, knowing they are on my behalf as well. And for all those who walk to God with me, I say thank you and amen. My name is Amaya Victoria. You can contact me for readings, workshops, healings at Amaya at amayacenter.com, Facebook Amaya Center or Amaya Victoria, Twitter Amaya Victoria, and Instagram Amaya Center. Until next time, God bless, Godspeed, and don't forget to breathe.